The Prophetic Gift in the Gospel Church, Chapter 11, Discerning True Prophets, Section 3. Rule 6. Miracles not a test of a true prophet. It has been affirmed by many theological writers and stated in commentaries on the Scriptures that the sign of a true prophet is the working of miracles. If the working of miracles is proof of a true prophet, then the false prophet mentioned in Revelation 19 verse 20 would be declared after all a true prophet, for it is said, "The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast." The same power is mentioned again in Revelation 13 verse 14 as deceiving them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. By the same application of this rule, we would be driven to the conclusion that even Satan is a true prophet. Certain spirits that will do a special work under the sixth of the seven last plagues are called the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Revelation 16, verse 14. It is true that miracles are recorded as being wrought by some of the prophets, as in the case of Elijah, Elisha, and Paul. But who has found any record in the Bible of the miracles of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, etc.? Yet these were true prophets of the Lord, and are shown to be such by the rules the Lord has given to test true prophets. That the working of miracles is not the test of a true prophet is clearly seen by reading the scripture record of John the Baptist. That he was a prophet is shown by the prediction of his father Zacharias, in relating the vision God had given him respecting the son that should be born to him. "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." Luke 1, verse 76. Our Savior himself recognized John as that very prophet who should prepare the way before him. For of John he said, "But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." Luke 7, verses 26 to 28. Here, then, is a plain statement of the Savior that John was a prophet. Let us apply the test of miracle-working and see the result. In the Gospel, as written by John the Evangelist, we have these words, "And many resorted unto him," Christ, "and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true." John 10, verse 41. This statement alone is a complete refutation of the claim that the sign of a true prophet is the working of miracles. This sixth rule teaches that if a miracle is wrought by a pretender, there will be seen with it, when carefully tested, a departure from the sacred truths of God's word and a lowering of the standard to meet a heart inclined to shun the way of self-denial. The Lord permits such pretender to arise, and his course is a test to the true child of God, giving him an opportunity to weigh carefully the tendency or motive of said miracle worker. Those who cling to God's word, instead of being captivated by the false miracle worker, come forth strong in God as the result of such experience. In these evil days when many are claiming to be faith healers, divine healers, or Christian Science healers, etc., it would be well to apply closely the scriptural rules. for it will need divine rules and the illumination of the Holy Spirit to enable us clearly to discern the intent and purpose of some of these healers, so subtle in their work, while on the other hand are those who openly disregard God's law and His truth for this time. In this Rule 6, we are counseled to watch the nature of the testimony, whether it draws us nearer to the Lord or away from Him. Virtually, we are counseled to test the prophet by all the rules and not decide that he is a true prophet because apparently he is in harmony with one rule. I say apparently, for if perchance he made a prediction, the next question naturally arises, where did he get his prediction of events to take place? We understand from Scripture that anciently unprincipled men, false prophets, stole the words of true prophets and passed them off as their prophecy, seeking thus to succeed in their deception. The Lord has told His people in these times that the devil is a careful student of the prophecies of the Bible. And why is this? Is it to learn the truth, that he may help on the work of the Lord? No, by no means, but rather that he may tell some of these things that are coming, having stolen them from the Lord's prophets, thus making it appear that his prophets are true ones. Quote, Satan closely watches events, and when he finds one who has a specially strong spirit of opposition to the truth of God, he will even reveal to him unfulfilled events, that he may more firmly secure himself a seat in his heart. During his experience of nearly 6,000 years, he has lost none of his skill and shrewdness. All this time, he has been a close observer of all that concerns our race. Close quote. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 2, pages 171 and 172. Although Satan's prophets may do miracles or may speak of things to come, by the aid of what they have seen take place, as the death of a person occurring at a certain hour, or tell of an event to come, of which they stole their knowledge from God's prophet, yet in applying all the rules to their case, it will soon be seen where they fail to be in harmony with the Lord's standard of true prophets. Satan will not teach submission to God's law, but rather the service of other gods, even though it be the self-pleasing way of shunning the path of self-denial. Rule 7. By their fruits ye shall know them. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7, verses 15 to 20. These words of our Savior recognize the fact that the gift of prophecy would exist in the gospel age. If no true prophets were to be connected with the work, and every prophetic manifestation was to be from an evil source, would he not have said, Beware of prophets? The fact that he tells us so definitely how each kind may be known is the best evidence that in the work of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in showing things to come, John 16, verse 13, would be the true gift of prophecy. This rule, which in our enumeration we have called Rule 7, is an infallible one. Christ did not say, Ye may know them by their fruits, but positively, Ye shall know them by their fruits. We inquire, What is the fruit to be seen in the work of genuine gifts of the Spirit of God? The answer is found in the statement of Paul respecting the purpose of the Lord in placing the gifts in the church. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity, margin, into the unity, of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Ephesians 4, verses 8 to 16. Apply this rule to the prophetic gift that has been connected with the third angel's message from its rise, and what is the result? We find that the continual instruction given through Mrs. White has been in the line of unity and harmony, admonishing to counsel together and press together, to be in union with Christ, thus ensuring true fellowship and union with one another. One of the fruits of true gifts mentioned in the letter to the Ephesian church is the gathering of a people into the unity of the faith. What has been the result in this respect in the rise of the third angel's message? 53 years ago, when our publications and work were all in the English language, when reference was made to the unity and harmony taught in the testimonies and existing among the believers, our opponents said, "That is very well now, while your work is all in a limited territory and the believers of one nationality, but should your work spread into different parts of the earth and gather people of different languages with their national peculiarities, you would see the unity disappear and your work go to pieces." Do we see it going to pieces? How is it? The message is now printed, believed, and advocated in 67 languages of the world, and has gained a foothold at different places around the world twice, both north and south of the equator. Yet there is the same unity and harmony among those accepting the Lord's counsel through the testimonies as in earlier times. So the visions stand the test of Rule 7. In conclusion, let it be borne in mind that attention has been called in this book to 9 points of similarity between Mrs. White's visions and those described in the Bible, to 6 points of comparison in the practical work of true vision, and lastly, to 7 rules. In all these 22 points, we find her visions in exact harmony with true prophets. One of the best proofs of the truthfulness of the visions is in the visions themselves. Many of those who read Mrs. White's writings, who know not the origin of the ideas which she advances, say, "When I read Mrs. White's articles, it seems to me as though her writings are inspired." In view of the facts presented in the foregoing pages, it is well for all to heed the admonition of King Jehoshaphat to the host of Judah, "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20.